Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. Y'all, I would like to begin our message this evening, y'all, by first saying Happy Easter to everyone. Y'all, it was early, y'all, that first Easter morning, when little grass in that arid climate was moist with the morning dew. The cool air of early spring breeze through the blossoming branches of nearby trees. The sun crept over the mountains before spilling its light over the rolling desert hills of Palestine. The bright morning star could still be seen in the northern sky, a symbol of hope, a sign that something better loomed on the horizon. But for the small band of women making their way to the tomb of Jesus, hope was in short supply. Their spirit had been crushed by the same nails that pierced the hands and the feet of Jesus. They were discouraged, disheartened, and defeated. And what they wanted more than anything else was to see Jesus one last time, to honor him by anointing his body with spices and perfumes, which of course is equivalent to laying flowers at a gravesite. But as they walked that long, lonely path to the tomb, it suddenly dawned on them. The Bible says, they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the tomb? Two of these women, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James, for they had seen where the body had been placed, and they knew, y'all, that a huge stone had been rolled across the entrance of the tomb. So as they approached the grave, they remembered the stone, and they realized, y'all, that they could not move that stone on their own. It probably weighed several hundred pounds, y'all, and it would basically need to be rolled uphill and out of a rut just to open the tomb. Even if all five women worked together, they wouldn't have been able to budge it. As far as they were concerned, it was an insurmountable obstacle. But y'all, we all know what that's like, don't we? Y'all, we all have our stones in life. You know yours, and I know mine. Y'all, our stone, we know the size, the shape, and the circumference. Y'all, our stones, they don't block, y'all, the entrance of a tomb in Jerusalem. Rather, our paths, y'all, they are blocked by the boulders of unemployment, abandonment, abuse, and possibly addiction, be it physical or emotional. Y'all, we face insurmountable obstacles of debt, of divorce, of drunkenness, and depression. We have bills we can't pay. We have grades we can't make. We have people we can't please. Whiskey we can't resist. A career we can't escape. A past we cannot shake. And a future we can't face. And the reality is, y'all, by ourselves, we're not strong enough to roll these stones away. We can come at them, y'all, from whatever angle we choose. We can use whatever tools we wish. We can't budget. We can't get around it. We cannot even move it, not even an inch. But your Lord Jesus, he does for us, y'all, what he did for Mary and for Salome, for Peter, for James, and for Thomas. You see, y'all, their lives were ever changed because he rolled that stone away. Y'all, that stone, it represented the fears and the failures of Jesus' closest friends. And his resurrection personally and powerfully impacted the lives of those who knew and loved him. It rolled away the stone, y'all, that hindered their faith and their future. Y'all, other than the stone blocking the entrance of his own tomb, Jesus moved no less than five other stones on that early Easter morning. And because of this, you all, please accept as a title of our message this evening, He Still Moves Stones. Once again, the title of our message this evening is, He Still Moves Stones. Now, you all, the first stone that Jesus removes is the stone of discouragement. Now, y'all, let's go back to Mary and the other women at Jesus' tomb. To say that these women were discouraged, y'all, is an understatement. I mean, they were devastated and heartbroken. They believed in Jesus. They put their faith in him. I mean, all of their hope rested and their dreams rested in a man they believed was God in the human flesh. But then he died. You know, the ground beneath the rugged cross was stained with his blood, the blood of God. However, you know, they were not the only ones who were discouraged either. You see, all of Jesus' followers were disappointed and disillusioned. I think you're the disciples who were walking the road to Emmaus. I think they spoke for everyone when they said in Luke 24 and 21, we have hope that he was the one. You know, anytime we start talking about hope in the past tense, we know we're in trouble. You see, the soul without hope is like a body without food. I mean, can any of us, relate to these disciples? Have any of us, had our hopes crushed right in front of us? We have all kinds of hopes and dreams. The hope, that we might one day meet that perfect man or woman and get married. Or, the hope that the marriage that we have might be rekindled. Some may hope desperately to have a child, while others hope, that their adult children might finally turn their lives around. We hope, to get out of debt or escape our stress. We long to be healed of some disease or disability. Or we hope, we won't have to take that medication for the rest of our life. When these dreams go unfulfilled and our hopes are shattered, and oftentimes, it's discouraging and sometimes devastating. But when Mary and the others saw their risen Savior, it changed everything. The Bible says in John 20:20, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The Living Bible puts it this way, and how wonderful was their joy when they saw their Lord. Seeing Jesus made all the difference. I mean, in that moment, they went from hopelessness and depression to joyful, thrilling, overflowing exuberance. When we put our faith in Jesus, we will never experience a bankruptcy of hope. Apart from Christ, life is full of disappointments and discouragements. But Jesus gives us hope. However, the trick is putting all of our eggs in the right basket. You see, when we hang our hope on things of this world, we're only building castles in the sand. But when our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, then we'll be standing on solid ground and we will never be discouraged. Yes, Jesus, he rolls away the stone of discouragement. But he also rolls away the stone of dread. We remember what happened to the apostles when Jesus was arrested. They ran away. They abandoned Jesus in his time of need. Of course, the 12 apostles who were handpicked by Jesus. Only one of them, even had the nerves to follow him to the cross. And of course, after Jesus was crucified, they were even more terrified. They were certain that they were next. In John 20:19, it says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Confused and fearful, the disciples stayed close together, hiding from the authorities and huddled behind locked doors. Jesus told these guys to go to Galilee, but they wouldn't go. They were paralyzed with fear. Fear does that to us. Fear closes the windows and locks the doors. Fear is a prison of our own making. And it keeps us from accomplishing that which God has assigned to us. But what are we afraid of? We have a fear of rejection that keeps us from sharing our faith. Or a fear of intimacy that prevents us from forming a meaningful relationship. Or maybe a fear that thwarts every attempt to try something new. As the apostles cowered behind those locked doors, Jesus appeared to them. In John 20:19, it says, then Jesus came and stood in the midst and said, peace be with you. Y'all, their fear was immediately transformed into faith. I mean, the next thing you know, y'all, these same fearful followers, they're out in the streets and the synagogues, boldly proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. But y'all, what made the difference? Maybe it was the promise that Jesus made when he said in Matthew 28:19, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Y'all, whatever challenges we meet, whatever obstacles we face, y'all, we don't have to be afraid. Our God is with us. Cancer, Alzheimer's, car crash, felon economy, crime, national disaster, even governmental leadership. Y'all, come what may, your God is with us. The risen Jesus, y'all, he removes the stones of dread. Y'all, that's not all that Jesus does. Y'all, Christ, he also removes the stone of doubt. Poor Peter. Y'all, Thomas, that's my boy. I'm thinking about Peter. Poor Thomas, y'all. Thomas, y'all, he missed the first appearance that Christ came while the others hid behind locked doors. Y'all, Thomas, he was off on his own. And nobody really knows where Thomas was or why he wasn't there. But he sure has been criticized for it. Doubting Thomas. Yo, that's what we call him, isn't it? Yo, the Bible says, one of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, this is in John 20:24-25, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my finger into them, and place my hand into the wound of his side. Y'all, Thomas was a skeptic. I mean, he wouldn't believe it, y'all, until he saw the evidence. Now, y'all, Thomas, he was taking a lot of criticism for his doubts. But certainly, y'all, Thomas is not the only person to doubt the Christian faith. In fact, y'all, maybe some of us have doubts of our own. Y'all, Thomas, he reminds me of a man by the name of Lee Strogel. Y'all, Lee, he was an investigative editor for the Chicago Tribune and a confirmed atheist. That is, y'all, until his wife became a Christian. Y'all, as her faith grew, y'all, Thomas, he saw all of the changes taking place in her life. And he was afraid that he was losing her. So he set out, y'all, on a mission to investigate Jesus Christ. His goal at first, y'all, was to prove to his wife that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. But things didn't go exactly as planned. You see, he used his resources in the Tribune to contact scholars and historians from all around the world, investigating the reliability of the Jesus' biographies, the extra-biblical attestation for the life and the work of Jesus. But y'all, everything hinged on the resurrection. You see, y'all, if Jesus really died and came back to life 3 days later, then y'all, that valid everything he ever said, and it proved that he is who he claimed to be. Y'all, the evidence was irresistible. Certainly, I love to go into the evidence this evening, but y'all, that's going to have to be a sermon of another fellowship. However, y'all, after 2 years of investigation, y'all, Lee, he sat down at his desk with a legal pad. He drew a line down the middle. Now, on one side, y'all, Lee, he wrote all the evidence against Jesus being the Son of God. And on the other side, he wrote all the evidence for it. Overwhelmed by his own discoveries, y'all, he gave his life to Christ right then and there. Y'all, Thomas did the same thing. Upon seeing the evidence, seeing Jesus with his own eyes. In verse 38:28, y'all, it says, Thomas fell to his knees and exclaimed, my Lord and my God. Yes, y'all, Jesus, he removes the stones of doubt. And now, y'all, we got to love Peter. Y'all, Peter was such a simple yet passionate follower of Christ. Y'all, Peter was an all or nothing kind of brother. Y'all, on the night that Jesus was arrested, y'all, Peter was all in. He said, I will lay down my life for you. But y'all, by the next morning, y'all, Peter, he had folded. Y'all, Jesus said in John 13:38, I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, Peter, you will deny me three times. Yo, Jesus was right and Peter was wrong. Yo, he failed Jesus when it counted the most. Yo, do any of us know what it's like to fail? Yo, do any of us know, yo, the headaches of a failed marriage or a failed career? Do we ever feel, yo, like a failure as a friend or a father? Yo, Peter failure, it hung over him, yo, like a dark cloud. I mean, he was ready to quit. I mean, 3 years earlier, yo, Jesus had called Peter away from his career as a fisherman to become a fisher of men. And even after Jesus came back from the dead, yo, Peter, he still felt like a failure. I mean, rather than heading to Jerusalem or Galilee like he was supposed to, yo, Peter, he went back to what he knew best, fishing. Yo, he was ready to return to his old life, to give up being a follower of Jesus. But we remember the story, don't we? Remember, yo, Peter and the others, they were out on the Sea of Galilee, and they've been fishing all night long with no success. And then Jesus shows up. He tells them, y'all, where to cast their nets. And then he sits down with them on a bench, and they share a barbecue breakfast. During that meal, y'all, Jesus, he asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And each time Peter said, "Yes, Lord." And the last words, y'all, that Jesus spoke to Peter are exactly the same as the last word he shared with the other disciples, "Follow me." Y'all, Peter got a second chance. Y'all, I recall a Nike's commercial several years ago. Some of us may have recalled as well. A voice, y'all, it would come over the television and it would say, "I missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over again in my life. And that's why I succeed." Yo, those words were spoken by Michael Jordan. Yo, just because we fail, yo, that does not mean that we quit. Yo, just because we have been defeated in the past before, it doesn't mean, yo, that we surrender. Yo, we serve a God of second chances, a God who rolls away the stones of defeat. And finally, y'all, we worship a God, y'all, who also rolls away the stone of death. Y'all, ever since the Garden of Eden, death has been the arch enemy of humanity. Y'all, death always wins. The odds of us dying, y'all, are one in one. Death is exceptionally, y'all, it comes, y'all, to every living thing. I mean, for thousands of years, y'all, it has stalked its prey with exact precision. 100% success rate. That is, y'all, until Jesus. You'll see, Jesus, he conquered death through his resurrection. And he offers to do the same for you as well as me. The Apostle Paul, he puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 20 through the 27th verse. He says, "But the fact that Christ has been raised from the dead, he has become the first of a great harvest of those who will be raised to life again." So we see, just as death came into the world through a man, Adam, now the resurrection from the dead has become through another man. Everyone dies because all are related to Adam, the first man, but all who are related to Christ, the other man, will be given new life. You're all throughout Jesus' ministry. You know, he promised one thing that no one else could promise, not even offer. And that is your eternal life, immortality. You know, that's what Christ came into this world to offer. In John 10:10, Jesus declared boldly, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Adam's sin allowed death, you all, to claim every human life. Christ's death challenges that claim and nullified it in the relationship, the resurrection. Adam gave us death. Jesus Christ offers life to all. In other words, y'all, real life, y'all, can only be found in Jesus Christ. At conception, we receive a part of our human inheritance, the curse of death. At conversion, we receive Christ's gift of eternal life. Our eternal destiny, y'all, it's not a matter of better or worse. I mean, there's nothing less than a matter of life and death. And the choice is between death and life. What will you choose? Y'all, have we ever wondered, y'all, why God rolled that stone away from Jesus' tomb? I mean, y'all, in his resurrection body, I mean, Jesus, he could have materialized behind locked doors. Surely he could have left that tomb without moving the stone. But he didn't. Y'all, I think God moved that stone, y'all, for Mary, for Peter, for James, for John, and for you and for me. Y'all, he moved that stone, y'all, just the surest that he could. And, you know, he still moves stones. Whatever the challenge we face, whatever the boulders that are blocking our path, whether it's discouragement, doubt, depression, divorce, debt, drunkenness, fear, failure, or even death, let us know, y'all, remember, he still moves stones, and he stands ready to move yours today, only if you surrender your stone to him. Your God, he loves us, y'all. Your Jesus, he loves us. Your the Holy Spirit loves us. Please, let him move your stone today. May God bless you. May God keep you, is my prayer. Once again, I say happy Easter to everyone. And again, have a wonderful night. God bless.